participation in this and a lot of time for questions, and I really wanted 90 minutes, but the program committee was so successful, this program is so action-packed, and we've seen in every session people are, the chair is running up and pulling the microphone out of people's hands and so forth, because it's just very, very incredibly packed with wonderful and diverse information. So that should give us a little more time for discussion, but I do want to be fair to the people who have this room after the next session after us, so I'm going to be very strict with our panelists here, even though they all have so much wonderful stuff to say, and to give you more time for questions. So I just need to say just very briefly how this panel came about, so we can frame the question. We're hearing a whole bunch of important things about cybernetics and Wiener and what he did, and in bits and pieces where he came from, what he did and what those students and others who came after him did, and its importance in some pretty narrow fields. But of course, we've also heard about how he was a great popularizer and his books were bestsellers and so forth and so on. And so what happened was, so I'm the director of the IEEE History Center, which for all intents and purposes we can say is at the Stevens Institute of Technology in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is a history of technology center sponsored by IEEE, which is, of course, organizations IEEE are the sponsors of this conference. IEEE has a program called Milestones, wherein we recognize achievements, events in the history of engineering and technology relevant to IEEE technologies, which is really essentially, except for a few bridges and tunnels, is really pretty much all technology. If you know anything about IEEE, the largest professional association in the world, with over 400,000 members in 170 countries. So it was proposed by some local members when this conference was proposed, and when the IEEE Boston section took on the main part of the sponsorship, it was proposed, well, why don't we nominate the publication of Cybernetics by Norbert Wiener as an IEEE milestone? Well, what happened was when this was floated tabled, whatever the word they say in England, whatever, when it was brought up to the membership, some members objected and said that either nothing in it was really original, and therefore it wasn't groundbreaking, and or, depending on which person it was, it had no real impact in the sense of engineering impact or technical impact. It may have made some people buy books that didn't buy books before and read books and maybe think about science and technology. And I don't know, maybe some policymakers became a little bit more educated about the role of technology in society. But they said that it should not be a milestone. Because of the complicated politics of IEEE and timing and so forth, it was therefore not possible to get everyone together and negotiate this out in time for the conference. So instead, the program committee asked me, would I organize a panel where we get some people together to look at it from that frame of reference, that framework. Now, because you guys don't know, I'm not going to go into the details of what else are milestones and how you define it, but if you just have in your mind an idea that, there's certain events that happen in technological history, Edison's light bulb, Bell's phone, but it doesn't have to be a physical object, right? Franklin's publication of his papers on his electricity experiments. Certainly, something that's maybe the most analogous, though again, it was very technical and Wiener's cybernetics book was popular, Shannon's paper in 48, right? Clearly an IEEE milestone. You could pick certainly one of Wiener's individual developments, let's say the Wiener filter, and say, is this a milestone? You could probably say yes. You know, it's smaller in scope, but if we define it that way, it moved engineering forward. So what I've done is I've asked some panelists to talk about Wiener's contributions in a whole range of areas, but by looking at it in the longer view, what came before, what he did, and what came after, and say, in that context, is what he did what we might consider a milestone in engineering and technology history. And then what we'd really like to do is then open it up to we hope audience, both questions and also potentially answers, and use, of course, this is the age of Google, right, and all that, so we're going to use, and social media, so we'll use the great collective group consciousness, right, to give guidance to the section, and we have section officers sitting in the audience, and they can take this back to the section and say, you know what, the naysayers were right, we should look for something else, or saying, you know what, the naysayers were wrong, we're going to renominate this, and next year, hopefully, it would have been nice to do the dedication at the conference, but certainly next year we'll be back in Boston to dedicate it. So that's the context. So our first speaker, and by the way, I said David Medell, who you know is well known as a plenary speaker, unfortunately he took ill and had to leave. The other speakers have already given talks, I hope you're all at, and this will be them taking their stuff and spinning it a different way. So they're almost going to get no introduction. But since Ron Klein has not spoken yet at this conference, I wanted to say a little bit about him. Ron is the Bowie Professor in History and Ethics of Engineering at Cornell University. He's the immediate past president of SHOT. Everyone know who SHOT is? This is a complicated conference. Some of you do and some of you don't. SHOT is Society for History of Technology. That's the membership association for historians of technology, the way that IEEE is for the engineers and the way that the Cybernetics Society, ACS, is for cyberneticians and so forth. And he's done so much other wonderful stuff, I'm not even going to mention it. And instead, I'm going to mention what he left off here, which is that he's one of my predecessors as the director of the IEEE History Center. So therefore, he is uniquely qualified for this task. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Ron.